A new era is on the horizon for Japan as its emperor prepares to step down, abdicating for the first time in 200 years. Reiwa is the chosen name for the new imperial era, which begins on the 1st of May. On the same day, Crown Prince Naruhito is expected to take the throne. Ricky Kirsten is the Executive Director of the Asia Research Centre at Murdoch University and specialises in Japanese political history. Ricky, thank you so much for your time. How significant is the era name for each emperor?
It's incredibly significant for Japanese people because it's a fundamental matter of identity for them. Every time they pick up a newspaper, fill out a form, anything they do in their daily lives, it's about the time and place that is marked by the name of the era. So it's absolutely fundamental to daily life.
What does Reiwa mean and where does it actually come from?
Oh, there's quite a story to that. The Japanese government has let it be known that they would prefer the official English translation of Reiwa to be beautiful harmony. But actually, there's quite a debate going on in Japan at the moment about that because the first character for Rei is commonly used in a word to command, meirei, to order or command. So people who don't really like the politics of the conservative government in Japan at the moment are picking up on that and having a bit of fun at the Abe administration's expense and saying that it's really an authoritarian connotation, not one of beautiful harmony. But the other significant thing is that Reiwa is the first era name that originates from a Japanese cultural tradition, a series of 7th and 8th century poems called the Manyoshu. Before this era name, every era name came from Chinese classical tradition. So that's an enormous difference. And when you put these two things together, it actually fits very well with the conservative and patriotic image of the Abe government in Japan.
So is that a contentious move, not choosing a Chinese name?
I think it's a deliberate move. It's signalling that Japan does not need to refer to other nations for the integrity of its cultural traditions, and in particular for its contemporary standing in the region and the world. It's very fitting, I think, that Japan and its political leaders seek to anchor contemporary Japan in a Japanese tradition. And yeah, some people might say if you're ignoring the Chinese traditions that are deeply embedded in Japan and Japan's past, maybe that's a bit contentious. But I think it's perfectly reasonable for Japan to choose Japanese origins for such a fundamental thing as an era name.
Right now, we're living at the end of the Heisei period. What has characterised this period?
Heisei has some interesting things. It's when we change eras in Japan, it causes everybody to ask the question that you've just asked me. It causes the nation to reflect, where have we come from and what have we been through? And arguably, one of the characteristics of Heisei has been crisis and disaster. If you look at earthquakes, tidal waves, the Fukushima disaster, and many other natural disasters, typhoons, etc., floods, there can be an argument for saying Heisei has been about disaster, but it's also been about national resilience coming together and responding to those disasters. So Heisei can actually have a very positive connotation, even if you were to say, well, it's an era marked by tragedy and crisis.
Well, that's certainly very interesting. Thank you so much for your time, Ricky.
It's my pleasure.
Ricky Kirsten is the Executive Director of the Asia Research Centre at Murdoch University and specialises in Japanese political history. This is RN Drive.